Say that as we had been speaking on the pain of change, that it literally hit home and affected you in different areas of your life. Amen. Amen. It has affected each and every single one of us. I know that we've had several come up and say, okay, how did you know that was right where I was? And we've been like, we didn't, but God does. He knows right where you are, right what you need at every single time. And we're going to shift gears this morning a little bit. I know that we were on the pain of change, but we're getting ready to get into some pretty awesome things for the next direction that God has given us. And last week, we spoke about the favor of God and God being a blessing in our life, but how his favor is something that is immeasurable that we can't just attain, but it is this likeness that God has towards us that is undeserved. And it is so amazing that the favor of God is just to know him. And Pastor Don opened up where Jesus went up to the out into the wilderness to be tempted. And it was after that that he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And God began to just really break out in the house. And as God directed us, you go on to the next point. And we're going to start today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. And we're just going to stick there. I'm going to open in the message. But today's title of today's message is Committed to Climb. Committed to Climb. And I want you to just go with me. I'm reading from the message version. But if you have it just in your word, just follow along. It says, when Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. And this is what he said. Well, we're not even getting into that part because this scripture reference right here, this section right here has so much in it that attains to us today. And God spoke to us and said, we need to be committed to climb. It's time to be committed to climb with him because the pain of change, once you change, you go into a new season. But what happens in that new season? What do you do with your change? If you look back after Jesus went into the wilderness and he spoke and defeated the enemy by the word of God and then opened the scrolls and read, he then went and walked along the beach and called Peter and James. And John, he called them right after that moment. He called them to come follow him. And in that very moment, it says that they dropped their nets and they immediately followed God. Immediately followed him. Talk about a change. If you look in other versions, it talks about, you know, not going back. And Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead and different things that it don't turn around. That if you're going to follow me, come follow me. Talk about pain and change because what? Turning from everything that you knew and just going, okay.
What's crazy is, could you, like, be in a boat, your pontoon, your speedboat, and Jesus says, come follow me, you just hop up out of there and just leave it where it's at. Okay. Could you be in your car and driving down, and you're at the next stoplight, and Jesus is on the corner and says, come follow me, would you be willing to hop out of your car and just walk away?
With no question.
I mean, think about comparing it to today.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, and just up and leave.
And that's the problem, because this is where God's talking to us about. If you go to the very next scripture reference, that's where Jesus takes the ones who were disciples and following him, the ones who were apprenticed to him or the climbing companions, it says, and they turn from following him right off the beach. They go up and climb with him to be taught. And the thing about it is just like Pastor Brandon just said, is that would you do that? I mean, really, in reality, if you think about it, how many people do you see just stopping their cars for God and jumping out and being like, peace out, somebody take it, leave the keys in it, no big deal. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and just leaving everything behind. And what's crazy about it today is all Jesus asks is that in our hearts and in our bodies that we would follow him, and we have a hard time doing that. And it's not even as difficult, in all honesty, as really looking, if you look and just going, okay, I'm going to leave everything, you know, let my boat crash into whatever is going on, you know, the fish, everything, my livelihood, all that. Jesus is asking you just to change your heart and your direction towards him so he can bless you to be who you need to be for his name. And so it says this, and there were...
I'll let you get into this.
Don't say sorry.
Sorry.
Okay,
sorry. What has your heart has your future.
It's good. I mean, that's good.
That's the bottom line when he's asking you. you to follow him. What has your heart is going to have your future.
That's good.
That's the truth.
It's good. And one of the things that I know was mentioned last week was faith takes action. And when you go from one place to another, it's completely, yeah, you go from one place to another, from what you knew to what you have no clue. And you are following after God. And what happens is they climb up. And there were four words that really stuck out to me at this moment. One of them was apprenticed. The other was committed. The other was climb. And the other was companions. And God spoke to me. I look up what the word apprentice meant. And an apprenticeship is a system of training a new generation of practitioners of a trade or profession with on-the-job training and often some accompanying study. An apprenticeship which must last for a minimum of 12 months combines hands-on work with the opportunity to train and obtain qualifications. It's also a paid position, so you earn while you learn. And Jesus began to speak to me about this, that if you're an apprentice to him and you want to follow after him, if you say you're a disciple of who he is, that you're a Christian, then you truly have a desire to learn the trade of who he is. You have a desire to learn how he leaves his trademark on this world, what he does, how he works, and you desire to follow in that. In any apprenticeship, the learner, the apprentice, desires to do what the master does. They desire to do that. And what happens is, I love the part where it says, you earn while you learn. Because in reality, with Jesus Christ, if we would really think about when we are apprenticing him, when we have an apprenticeship, when we want to follow after him and be true followers, we earn while we learn. But it's not here on earth. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 20, it says, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be.
That's right.
It's the place where you will most want to end up being. And these companions of Jesus, they wanted to climb the mountain and follow after him because his presence was worth more than anything that they could own in the world. It was worth any better than any gift that they could receive. And God said, tell them that the trade is worth far more value than the return. Learning the trade is worth far more value than the return that you will ever receive. Without the trade, you'd have no way to earn. Without the trade, without knowing the trade of the Father, without knowing the way that he works, the way he walks, the way that he talks, the things that he does, without learning that and truly wanting to desire to follow after that, there would be no earning of what he wants to do in people's lives. The true return is the reward of salvation that you see in others as they go along the way. And then your treasures will be stored up in heaven. It's not about what you have here on earth. Not that God doesn't want you to receive great things or bless you, but that's not the point of why you learn what you do. True apprentices love what they do because they want to know the trade. They want to know that it carries them through. It's very important, and God began to speak to me about to be committed. It's a feeling of dedication and loyalty to cause activity or job, to serve a job wholeheartedly, to be dedicated wholeheartedly, to serve with everything that you have. If you're committed, you give your whole, not your half.
That's right.
And let me tell you this, half-butted service returns half-butted results.
That's right.
And that's the truth. You can't give half-heartedly and receive wholeheartedly. It doesn't work out that way. You have to give with your whole heart unto God so that you can return, be blessed wholeheartedly by who he is. And how many times in life when we serve God have we said we've given them our whole heart and done exactly to follow after him, but we don't want to take that last inch to climb the mountain to get to that next place with him?
I want to say something real quick. Luke 14, 33 says, just to iterate in that, it says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Those of you that cannot give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. That's why they said, drop the net. That's why they said, he said, just stop what you're doing and follow me. And I believe that we have not gave up everything that we have. Let that just sink in for a minute. And sometimes we think, okay, we're disciples. Oh, yeah, no, I got this. No, I'm following him. But we still hold on to this, and we still hold on to that, and we still hold on to that. And we really can't climb like we're supposed to climb and be dedicated to that.
Because dedication takes work. To be dedicated takes work. And that's the part of what climbing is. Because climbing is to go up or ascend, especially by the use of hands and feet. Alone or by continuous or strenuous effort. To climb after God, to follow after God, takes continuous or strenuous effort. It's not striving, but you have to literally work at what you need to do to follow after God. And what I love about it is the literal application of climbing is to use your hands and feet. And Jesus says that we're the hands and feet of who he is. If we are not climbing and following after him, then what is happening in this world? We are not doing our responsibility by being the hands and feet and following after God to labor after him. It talks about how we are co-laborers with Christ. We're co-laborers. And that speaks in 1 Corinthians 3:9. It says, for we are fellow workmen, joint promoters, laborers together with and for God. If you are truly saying, you know what, God? I want to follow after you in this next step of where I'm going. You've caused change in my life. But you don't want to do the work to get there. Then you haven't wholeheartedly given everything you can to God. We don't like that word work. A lot of us don't like the word work. A lot of our generations out in the world today don't like the word work. Because then we have to apply ourselves to do something. I think a lot of it is because we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of not adding up or doing what needs to be done. And sometimes I think it's just because we've gotten downright lazy because we feel like everything needs to be given to us. But God is desiring true climbers today. Are you going to be willing to hook up to that mountain and climb it and ask God to just follow him in direction and say, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, I'm going to follow after you.
I think the contenders pulled away from the pretenders. I think the contenders, we can't settle where we are right now. I don't want to be a pretender. I don't want to stay with the crowd. I want to be a contender to climb up that mountain. You know, vision causes you to climb. Vision, it's not saying, okay, you need to climb. What are you climbing for? There's got to be, like he said, there was a teaching, there was a vision, there was something up that mountain that we needed to find. We needed to go. We needed to climb. I don't want to be a pretender in this. I don't want to say I'm climbing and I'm working and I'm sweating when I'm really not a contender, but I'm a pretender. And God really spoke to me in Psalms 24:3-4. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in any idol or swear by any false god. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to trust in any idol. I'm not going to swear by any god. And when I read that and I sat there yesterday morning by myself saying, oh God, do I have clean hands and a pure heart? Can I really ascend that mountain? I don't want to pretend. I really want to contend in what he has. The climb is not a way out, it's a way in. Now come on, somebody. See, sometimes you think, okay, well, all my stuff's down here in the valley, so if I climb, I'm going to be in a way out. It's actually a way in. It's good. And sometimes you got to take that step of faith to say, you know what, I'm going to let go of all these other things. It might be depression. It might be suicide thoughts. I've had people that have come to my home with suicide thoughts. I've had phone calls over this week with situations you just don't even know. And I said, are you going to be a pretender? Or are you going to be a contender? Are you really going to separate yourself and say, you know what, I want clean hands and a pure heart? So when I spoke to situations and people, even this week, Brandon, even this week, and I lay it before them and say, you know what, you need to have clean hands and a pure heart. Some walk away and say, you know what, I don't know if I can handle that. And in my heart, I'm grieved because I want to run after him and say, oh no, you got to climb the mountain. You got to be a contender. Some don't want that. Some are satisfied with being down on the valley, and some are satisfied with the familiarity of things. This mountain climbing is not a way out. It's a way in. Are you going to weigh in and be a contender? Or are you going to weigh out?
I think some of the struggle is, and it's funny you went that way, because what I wrote down was there are two different types of mountains. There's one that we build ourselves, and then there's one that God's created for us to climb so that we can be taught. So I think there's two different realms that people live in. One realm is, oh my God, this mountain is so big. I don't think when Jesus said to speak to this mountain to move and cast itself in the sea that he was talking about the mountains he built. I think he was talking about the personal mountains that we build that get in our way and keep us from presence. And so I think that is what Jesus was talking about. As I started studying this and I read, I want to read Matthew chapter 5 verse 1 out of the Amplified. Just because of what it says. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Go to the next verse. Then he began to teach them. So go back to verse 1 again. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came. I believe that the mountain is an invitation. I think we have to start looking at the mountain in the intention that God created it. It is literally an invitation to come and sit at his feet and hear his words and to grow and to learn. And I wrote a bunch of stuff down. I'm going to get through this pretty quick. I wrote a bunch of stuff down, four or five different circumstances in the Bible where there was an invitation to come. Abraham, Genesis chapter 22, verse 2. They can put it up there real quick. God said, take now your son, your only son of promise, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. What I wrote was, this was an invitation to the mountain to teach him complete and total reliance and obedience, trust and sacrifice. See, what we have to understand is these mountains are invitations to learn. When we create our own mountains, we learn the wrong things. We teach ourselves bad habits. And then in turn, we wonder why our kids are running around crazy. Because we're teaching them that creating your own mountain allows you to create your own destiny. When we get on the mountain of God, his destiny is what comes out. Look at this. Moses, Exodus chapter 19, verse 20. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and he went up. The invitation to the glory on this mountain, once again, to teach Moses and all of Israel the law. But it was also to show him his goodness. Because when Moses was on the mountain in the presence of God, he said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Bible says that God put him in the cleft of the rock and his goodness passed by. Sometimes when we have a bad perspective of what's going on down here on this earth, we need to climb the mountain and get in the cleft of the rock so we can see how good he really, really is. It's so quiet in here. You don't want his goodness? I want to be in the cleft so that I can understand that he's good in difficulty. That he's good in my trial. That he's good in my circumstance. My God, people, you better wake up. Peter, James, and John, Mark chapter 9, verse 1 through 13. I only want to read verse 7 and 8, though. Jesus takes them up on the mountain with him to be transfigured. And when he's transfigured, the Bible says that Elijah and Moses show up to speak to Jesus. And when they come up there, Peter goes, "Man, Jesus, it's so good you brought us up here. Let me make a tent for each of you." But listen to this.
Yeah.
"Then a cloud formed overshadowing them, and the voice came out of the cloud. 'This is my beloved son. Listen to him and obey him.'" Watch the next verse. This is so good. "Suddenly they looked around and no longer saw anyone there except Jesus alone. He was teaching them on the mountain that it is always only Jesus. It wasn't about Elijah. It wasn't about Moses. And if we're not careful, we'll build tents for people that were never meant to be worshipped. And it's always only Jesus." My God. My. Acts chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now." Keep going. "So when they had come together, they asked him repeatedly, 'Lord, are you at this time reestablishing the kingdom and restoring to Israel?'" Keep going. "He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed in his own authority. But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to tell the people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." Keep going. "And after these things, he was caught up, and they looked on, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While they were looking intently to the sky as he was going, two men in white clothing suddenly stood beside them." Watch this. "Who said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will return in just the same way you have watched him go.'" Watch this. They're on Mount Olivet. And Jesus, again, is teaching and instructing. They're on another mountain. He's telling them, "Go to Jerusalem. Wait for the promise, because I'm about to do something bigger in you." Not only were they on a mountain in that moment, but he told them to go to an upper room, an elevated place. What he's teaching us is that elevated places were always meant for us to go sit and rest at his feet to learn and engage in presence. Every day is a mountain invitation to meet with God through prayer and his word. Every single day is a mountain invitation. Not just every once in a while. It's in the morning when you get up, he's calling you to the mountain. There's an invitation for you to come. Let me share something real quick and then I'll be done. I promise. Last week, my wife's grandfather came to church. I love that man of God, dude. Listen, we can get all caught up and, "Oh, he goes to a different denomination." It doesn't matter. If you love God, you love God. That's all there is to it. He goes to a Wesleyan church, and I've never seen a more devoted Christian, more devoted man who loves God. They came over to our house, and he was getting ready to leave, and he looks at me and he said, "Josh, for 37 years I've read the Bible. And I've read the Bible through one time each year." He's been to the mountain. He takes that invitation every day and he goes to the mountain. Only 5 times in 38 years has he missed a time with God. Can you say that? 5 times in 38 years he's missed a time with God. He's 90 years old and has never had to take medication. He runs, he bikes, he hikes, he does all of it. I think that there is a secret ingredient to what this man has found that we have so missed out on. And that secret ingredient is the invitation to the glory and to the mountain every day and to spend time with him. Because the medication isn't what you put in your mouth. It's what you put in your spirit. It's the word of God. It's the healer coming to life in you when you spend time with him. He quoted this to me. He said, "I've served the devil for 52 years, so I'm going to serve God for 52. I said, Grandpa, that makes you 104 when you die. He said, but I got to give him everything that I've got for the next 52 years. Whew. There's a mountain that God is looking for you to climb. Notice that Jesus climbed it first, and when he was seated, they came. It's just an invitation, man. It's an invitation.
So powerful. Woo! Somebody say with me, it's time to climb. It's time. It's time to climb. Because I'm telling you, what they say is there's no better time than the present. We don't need to wait for it. We can't wish we would have had that experience that we had back then. He was good back then, but he's even better right now because he's got something new. His mercies are new every day. He's got something for you in store today. And so go ahead, Mom, because I'm about to do something.
Okay, go ahead. Well, I was thinking of the personal invitation and then the corporate invitation. And I think there's a divine mission for corporate invitation to the mountain. And I wrote this down. The divine mission God calls us to is the destiny of the church. And it can only be accomplished through commitment. And I think that when we personally come before God in the invitation of the Lord, and then we walk into a room or we walk out there to the city, and we're serving food and we're corporately moving together, just like the newscaster said, I've never seen anybody move like this and so organized. And we were laughing and we were pouring out in a corporate way of love, because we personally have spent time with God. We made a commitment to go and sit down. And when you say sit down, that also means to quietly be still. And some of us don't know how to quietly be still and be taught, because we always are in a hurry all the time. And I think there's a time not only personally for the invitation, but I think there's a time corporately for the invitation.
So true. Any of you guys, when you were younger, get in trouble and had to sit in a corner? Raise your hand. I want to see some of you all. Y'all heathens. I love it. Did you have to be quiet? Or were you allowed to talk in the corner? And when you talked, what happened? You got stuff added to it. And so as parents, what we do is we in a disciplinary, we teach, hey, shh, shh. And what happens now today is it's so tough to even get anybody to sit still. And we can tell, you know, kids move around and stuff, but try to set an adult down for 1 minute without anything today. You know what I mean? You know how hard it is? You know how long that 1 minute is? It just seems forever. No music, no nothing, dead silence, 1 minute. Let alone 5 minutes. And could you take the time in your own personal life, even just to challenge yourself this week? Take 5 minutes of nothing, absolutely nothing. We talk too much. We do. We talk too much. We want to treat God like Santa and ask for all of those things we want. But we don't ever want to take the time just to sit still and be quiet and listen. What does he have to say? What is he trying to do in us? What's he trying to download into our spirit? If we're quiet enough, we can hear the voice of God. We can act on it, but don't act too soon. You've been around people that overtalk you when you're trying to say something. They want to hurry up and say it because they want to get involved. Like, can you give me two more? Can I get two more words out, please? Sometimes we do that to God too. Just let him speak to you. Just sit in the silence of. I don't care if it's like there was times I was trying to be quiet and study, and I was sitting on a hammock and thought it was all. You know, I set the atmosphere, it was nice. And then a squirrel walked by, and then a bird did something, and I'm in enjoying God's beauty, but I'm not focused on God. I'm focused on everything else but Him. But you created those, but that's not Him. You know how easy we can shift our attention to things that are not of God, that are from God but not God? We're so quick to shift our attention to everything around. Focus just on Him. All right, you ready?
Can I say one more thing?
Come on, Mom, I'm ready.
Love you.
Come on.
When they were younger, when he had to go stand in the corner.
Now,
anyway,
let's talk a different story. Why are we going to tell that story? See what happens when you get your mama on the
butt
stage.
Butt whipped. Anyway.
Brandon butt whipped. Sound like a weird last name.
But what I used to do is I made it a point to get myself quiet when I had children. And even if it was like, okay, I'm going to, 1 o'clock, you know, you guys are either going to sit down, you're going to go play, you're going to do whatever. And I made it a point, he knows that. And I made it a point to get quiet before God every day. And whether it was, okay, Pop, I need you to take the kids for a while. I need to get quiet before God. And I made it a point. You know, you can make a point to go get a babysitter to go out. Sometimes you might need to make a point so you can go have a date with God to get quiet before God. Because if not, you're going to miss the whole thing of what we need to hear anymore.
Yeah.
Amen?
You have to just put it in part of your life pattern. Now I got to spend time with God. I got to get in His Word. I mean, last week, I mean, and this is all individually. You think about this to yourself. How often did you actually read the Word of God? Was it just a quick scripture you found, or did you actually dig in? How much did you get into it to really read? And then how much did you watch TV? I'm not saying TV's bad. There's some crazy shows out there. But the point is we got to balance everything out. We got to have time with the Lord. We got to have time and spend time with Him. And then here's the big excuse. I ain't got time. Well, you make time for what's important to you, so make time if this is important to you. Okay, we got to go. Ready? I just figured since I got some mountains, we're going to climb them. So you two go that way, and we'll go this way. We'll meet you up top. Somebody, it's time to climb. Now, come on, say it a little more better. It's time to climb. So we're going up. Going up. Some of you are like, what the heck is going on up here? Some of you might not have known we got some level two, you know. Hey, and I keep telling the worship team, one of these times we're going to get some people up here during worship. We're going to get it. We're not going to crowd surf. That would be weird from up here. I needed to finish this off today. And my bro got me a new Bible, and it's, you know when you get something new and it's not broken yet? Well, get your Bible and just bend it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking about? It's going to be hard to bend Grandma's Bible. Remember what the old pictures of Jesus looked like? Fabio, the white
one? Yeah, the great big one.
Yeah.
Hey, babe. Hey.
Let down thy hair.
Hang on.
This is no Romeo and Juliet. It ain't in the
I feel like we're on the Titanic.
I know, right? But real quick,
I gotta get behind you.
Before you get right into that scripture,
yes,
it's something that the last word, one of them that God spoke to me was companion out of that. And we were talking about spending time, and then when we came up and climbed up in here, it just reminded me about how the word companion literally means one of a pair of things intended to complement or match each other. And God began to speak to me, and He said, does your climb or your effort complement mine?
So good.
Does your climb or your effort complement mine? Does it match my commitment to you?
Yeah.
Does it match what I've given to you? Are you truly my companion?
Yeah.
Are you something that complements me? Do you match me? Do you want to follow in? Do you, what you do, does it give an example of my love for you, of my love for my people? Are you willing to climb and take that effort to come up into the mountain, to come up onto the mountain and climb and be my companion? Do you want to match who I am? Do people see me through what you do? Are your efforts and your commitment that you give, do they match what I've given you? Are you truly my companion?
Yeah. See, from the top, you got a different view of life. From up top, you can see everything. 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 And let me read this. Let me just get into this. It said, when Jesus saw the ministry drawing huge crowds, he climbed the hillside. Those who apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving to a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. What's crazy is we've talked about, we're going to do verse 1 and 2. We're just going to leave it at that. That's all we've said. You've heard Pastor Josh. You've heard my wife. You've heard my mom. We've all come together on this, these thoughts of the mountain and climbing. Like she said, committed, wholehearted devotion. Are you wholeheartedly devoted to Christ? I think of this whole thing when they said that they climbed. Are you committed to Christ? You say you're a Christian, but are you really a Christian? I mean, these are tough words, and we're online and all that stuff, but are you truly a Christian? Are you wholeheartedly? Because I can say it. I mean, the devil can even speak some scriptures. That's easy. But are you a true Christian? Because what it's saying in the Bible is that the committed climbed. Now look, you saw us climb up here. What you don't see behind the scenes is how this thing's built, and we're thankful for the team that put this together. But what you don't see is there's actually a staircase behind each one of that climb all the way up here. This thing's built, this is like a bunker over here. It's built well.
But let me say something.
We don't see it very.
I didn't know.
We need more lighting over there.
We're good. I didn't know.
I didn't know
that we were going to climb.
No.
I didn't have any idea.
I didn't tell her.
I didn't have any idea that he said go. And he said, you two go this way, you go that way. What did I do? I just obeyed.
She left her stuff.
I left all my stuff. But when I got up here, I was laughing up the stairs behind her. I don't care if she climbs in front of me. I don't care if he makes it to there first. All I know is I was joyful climbing up to the mountain.
That's good. So they had no clue. I told a couple people, I can't confirm or deny that I might be up in that mountain today. So the reality is, if you're committed to Christ, there's going to be a climb. The challenge, yeah, preach it. Who's screaming? Amen. The challenge, I'm playing, but here's where the challenge is what we do is give too many excuses why we can't climb. I mean, think about this. Other translation stuff said he climbed on the hillside, said he climbed up the side of a mountain, climbed up in a cleft area, all this stuff. Now, back in the Bible, I didn't know if they had rope and climbing with little hook shoes and all that. Did they prepare with shoes and ropes and they had all the gear and locked themselves in and getting ready to start a climb? You have some chanclas on?
I think they just had these.
Awesome.
Sandals.
So they wore sandals. Listen, they wore sandals and was willing to climb no matter what the environment was. They didn't care. Oh, hold on. I can't. I'm in this outfit, so I got to go change. See, the problem is you're trying to be too cute for Christ and just need to get outside yourself and climb when he says to climb and see the glory will fall on you when you get away from your flesh.
Bro, that's so good. Listen to this. You triggered me. You said, if we're a Christian, then we will climb. Watch what it says right here. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. I had a thought. If we go sit with him on the mountain, he said he had a crowd around him.
Yes.
But he's up there teaching his companions. But if we're not sitting up there, can the crowd hear the echo of his voice through us?
Yes. So good. So good.
Y'all get that?
But I think if when we as leaders are committed to climb, it will raise a standard. It will raise the harbor of the water up because we've just climbed up as leaders for commitment. Now it's raising a standard within this house.
The challenge we have on this is, like he said, if we're all just standing and trying to be see me, notice me, don't you want to get to know me? That's how it is on social media all day long. And sometimes out there, everybody wants to get the glory. Did you see what I did? Did you see what I did? And the reality is when you're hot. Because when you're up higher, you can deliver more. And so this said the committed. Listen, it wasn't just the 12 disciples. It was ones that were committed. It was men. It was women. It was anybody committed, willing to climb. They were going to climb. And they climbed up there. Now, some could have got upset. And let me tell you, I guarantee some didn't climb because they thought of themselves. And some stayed back because they did not climb. And so, are you focused? Are you committed? Or is it just, let's just call it like it is. Or is it just Sunday as usual? Because I don't remember them having watches back then either. We are 1 minute till noon. I mean, we better get out of here. We can't let the Spirit lead. You can't lead past 12, so I won't be able to eat. You see what I'm saying? When you're committed to the climb, there ain't no watches back in the Bible when they're climbing. What are they doing? They're listening to the words of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the mysteries of heaven in a simple form. And so you climb and you sit and listen. And will it be challenging? Yes. Yes. There's two sides to climbing. It's hard. It can be frustrating. You can cut yourself. But when you get up there, you take a break. And then when you hear him speak, you don't want to come down. But eventually you have to, because you can't hoard what you've heard. The problem with church today is everybody's hearing the words of the Lord, but nobody's moving a muscle to deliver it to our community. So we find ourselves on the mountain. It is noon, isn't it? I wore my watch today. Ain't done that for 2 years. Because I just want to make sure I got a good time when I'm up here. Nobody's worried about signal up on the mountain, are they? The source of signal is speaking. You see what I'm saying? Just worry about it. You don't have the right gear. So here's the problem. Pastor Josh talked about this. There's this other mountain that we have. It's called a counterfeit. It's called the ones that need to be moved out of our lives. But we want to turn around eventually because we're so used to this mountain that we created. We want to climb and act like it's something glorious that God created for us and try to meet him inside of there. When he's trying to tell you, tell the mountain to move. Yeah. That's not the one to climb. That's
Quit
the
pretending.
One to walk through.
Quit
the one
pretending.
To climb is on the other side. Climb the one on the other side. Quit trying to climb the one you built. That's not the one. You're wasting your energy on you. Tell it to move and climb the one I'm waiting on with you. Jesus. And then there's the other climb. And Pastor Josh talked about it. It's so awesome what God does. See, he tells these guys, like the committed guys, girls, whatever, they climb up. They're committed. Not all of them went. And he starts telling these mysteries and starts talking about things, which we're going to get into each week. And I'm telling you, you'll want to invite people. You don't want to miss a service. This is going to be some amazing times that we're going to have this next season here at Remnant Church. But there was another climb. It was the one after Jesus is ascending into heaven. They're looking into the sky. And they're wondering. I love what the two guys say. What are you doing sitting here? Get going. Move. Why are you still looking? And look, bottom line for me personally, I probably would have been like, what the? Now, I'll try to figure out walking on water, but dude, you're floating in the air now. I would probably have been like that, but two guys walk up and be like, hello. I just watched Back to the Future. McFly, hello, McFly. I watch all three of them. Goofy, fun movies. So here's what he says. What are you doing looking up? He's already told you what to do. Get going. And guess what happens? These people have to get down and get up out of this area. And now they have to climb a different area. They're climbing to an upper room. Now they go back to Jerusalem. And good, look, we got an entourage. Everybody's going. But only 120 go in. The committed, out of how many? out of 500 people, 120 go in. The committed climbed up in. Out of 500 people, how many were committed to climb up when Christ was talking all this stuff, all this greatness? But then when he ascends to heaven, he says, listen, the promise is coming. The promise is coming. Go to Jerusalem and wait. But only 120 were committed enough to do that climb. And what happens? The birth of the church. Are you committed enough as a Christian to climb with God? And number two, are you committed enough to be committed to the church? His heart is after the local church. The last thing he says as he ascends into heaven is, go and wait. I got something for you. It was the birth of the church. He was sending the Holy Spirit, and the church began that day to the point of what I'm saying right now. Here we are. It's amazing. Are you committed to Christ for the climb? Are you committed to the local church? Are you committed here? Fully committed. It's not about just the name Remnant. It's not about who I am. I'm a broken man that needs him daily. We're just broken people, but we're just crazy and ignorant enough to say, yes, let's go. Yes, we're going to do it. Yes, we're just going to get up like they did. We just got up and started climbing. I don't care what I got on. We're just going to climb.
Let me say real quick.
You found another climber.
I did. She climbed up. Let me say real quick. When I was in Israel and I was standing at the bottom of Mount Sinai, I know that sounds crazy. And they said, this whole team, there was 52 of us, and they said, you're going to climb this mountain today. I said, I ain't climbing. You've got to be kidding me. I'm not going to be able to climb a mountain. Are you kidding me? It's huge. And he said, I want you to be the first one right behind me. I'm going to be the guide. And if you don't turn around and not look back, you'll realize how quick you climbed the mountain. So I gave my word to this guide in front of me, and he said, dude, don't turn around. And about a couple hours went by, and he said, you can turn around now. We've made it to the top of the mountain. I said, there's no way. And I turn around, and I'm literally at the top of the mountain, because he knew exactly how to get to this one place of the mountain, that you wasn't going straight up like you had to just fiercely do this. But you had to keep your eyes and not turn around anymore. And some of you need to quit turning around and looking back behind you. Amen?
Powerful. Say that, Josh. I love it. What you just told me.
I was thinking, I was talking to him while Mom was talking. I said, you know, there were 500 people that were on that mountain that had the opportunity to go into the upper room. But only 120 went, but 380 didn't. So you can either be one of two people. You can be a part of the 120 that want to birth things in the church, or you can be a part of the 380 that just wants to sit back and watch everybody else give birth to something and never give birth to anything in the spirit or what God has to do in the church at all.
So good. Stand with me, guys. We're gonna transition in this. You know what's crazy is that what God is asking for us, we couldn't go any further than this right here in this moment, because he's just looking for committed people. I'm telling you, that this is what he's saying. I mean, if you call yourself a Christian and you say you're a part of the committed, then he wants you to climb. He wants you to climb. Why? Because you have to get outside yourself. Why? Because there's something that he wants to tell you up in the mountain. There's something up there that he wants to just speak to you about. Why? Because he's wanting you to be committed to him, but he also wants you to be committed to the church. I'm not saying you're not committed to the church. I'm just saying you need to check your heart and see where you are. Because I'm telling you, the local church around the world, it's after his heart. Because it shines a bright light in the community that it surrounds to make a huge impact. Are you committed? Or is it just something? Listen, I remember I used to go to church where we just went to church and you heard somebody speak. It was challenging to be a part of something that somebody said, let's go, go climb up, let's go, get out there, climb up there. Climb up there. Are you climbing, girl? You better get up here. But you see what I'm saying? This is where God has us, the committed, the ones who are the climbing companions. Are you a companion to Christ? I believe the house has people that are companions to Christ. So now it's our opportunity to say, God, I'm going to take the climb. I don't care what I look like. It ain't trying to be cute and all the kinds of stuff. But I'm willing to climb. I'm willing to climb after him. Go ahead, girl. It's on. You got to talk.
I'm going to.
Go ahead.
Some of us, it's not too bad up here. You're right. The view's kind of good. Some of us, though, when we start seeing the mountain in front of us, we feel like we have to wait and start packing up everything. Like we're going on a trip. You're waiting for this door to open. You're waiting for this hill to move just in the right direction. When all God wants you to do is get up and move. Ironically, I'm sitting down there and Johanna's like, why are you shaking so bad? And I said, because I feel like I'm supposed to say something, but I don't want to go. What was I waiting for? An invitation? It was already given. The invitation was already given. I just had to move. And that's all that he's asking us to do. Sometimes the mountain just looks too big. Let's be honest, we're human. Sometimes the obstacles seem too difficult to make it to the top. But if God has put the mountain in front of you, he knows you can climb it. He's already giving you the tools, the gifts, the abilities to do it. He's just waiting for you to move. And for most of us, it's just a matter of getting out of our own minds and stop looking at our own abilities and realizing that with God, all things are possible. There's not one mountain too big that we can't climb.
So good. You know what's awesome is that God, like she said, he won't put you something in there that you're not able to accomplish. Will it be a fight? It's going to be a fight sometimes. Because here's the problem we have sometimes. If I have to go up to the mountain, well, what about my kids? Or what about this? Or what about this? And there's all kinds of scenarios. But what if God's just trying to get you to have a conversation with you just alone? I don't think God's just segregates that. He will give you those moments alone. But man, he's all about family. Yes, he wants your family up in the mountains. But sometimes he's like, I just need to talk to you for a minute. He said, Moses, I just need to have a conversation with you just for a moment. Because we're going to have to do something. So good. Go ahead. We're going to just worship for a few minutes.
There's nothing better.